Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 14th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
speculation grows about a 1% rate hike by the Fed this month.
Wall Street braces for another report on inflation.
Bank earnings begin with JPMorgan Chase and Morgan Stanley reporting this morning.
And President Biden boosts Israel's military as his Middle Eastern trip continues.
Two more shark attacks took place within hours off Long Island. Plus, the New York City Council demands Mayor Adams restore school budgets. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees came from behind to beat the Reds. The Mets won in Atlanta. The Open Championship Golf underway in Scotland.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 37 points, Dow futures down 280, and NASDAQ futures down 98. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.19%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.4% on $2.37 at $93.93 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.25% or $21.70 at $17.13.80 an ounce. And the euro, 1.0045. Against the dollar. Nathan.
Thank you, Karen. Reaction continues to pour into yesterday's hot reading on inflation. The dollar is trading at a 24-year high against the yen. Speculation is growing that the Fed's next move may be a 1% rate hike rather than a 75 basis point increase. We caught up with Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester.
Certainly, the inflation report suggests that there's no reason to say that a smaller rate increase than we did last time, right? Because nothing moved in that direction.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester made those comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes.
Well, Nathan, Mester's not the only Fed official hinting of higher rates to come. Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic says, quote, everything is in play for policy action this month. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
His comment came after data showed that U.S. inflation accelerated again to a fresh four-decade high last month. Speaking to reporters in St. Petersburg, Florida, Bostic said the top-line number is a source of concern and everything is in play. The comments add fuel to bets that the Fed is more likely than not to raise interest rates by 100 basis points when it meets later this month. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. And coming up today, we get another reading on inflation with the release of the Producer Price Index for June. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Though it would seem logical, the producer price index actually doesn't really lead moves in the consumer price index, and that may be a good thing. Unlike consumer prices, producer prices have been falling a little bit after reaching a peak in March. The Economist consensus forecast is that continued to come down in June. But CPI surprised to the upside last month, and there's a risk at least headline PPI could do the same. Oil and gasoline prices rose, as did other commodities, pushing up the cost of goods. The unanswered question is how service prices have behaved. Watch the trade services index in the PPI. It's something of a proxy for margins as earnings season gets underway in the U.S. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And speaking of earnings, this season gets started this morning in earnest when big banks report. And we get the details from Bloomberg Global Finance Correspondent Sonali Basak.
J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley kick off earnings for the biggest U.S. banks, and recession fears are growing across the economy. The question is, are provisions for loan losses going to build, especially at J.P. Morgan, where net interest income is also rising due to higher interest rates? The question is, how much will that offset any future pains from any potential recession ahead? I'm Sonali Basak, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Sonali, thanks. As recession fears grow on Wall Street, one top tech executive says the industry will be able to weather the storm. Let's get that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. IBM CEO Arvind Krishna says he believes business technology spending will remain robust above GDP growth, including in Europe. And this is even after others in the industry have been pessimistic in the face of a potential U.S. recession and resulting slower growth.
When you look at supply chain, inflation, labor demographics, interest rates, technology offers you a way to scale without necessarily increasing costs that are linear or worse than linear.
IBM CEO Arvind Krishna is less optimistic about supply chain problems. He says they're a real fundamental issue and will go on for a couple more years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, turning to politics now, President Biden will signal a continuing U.S. commitment to Israel's defense as part of his trip through the Middle East. The president signs a joint declaration with Israel's new prime minister, extending an agreement that provides billions of dollars to the country's military. Tomorrow, Biden heads to Saudi Arabia. Democratic Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger says he'll need to project American values when he meets with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
He must raise the issue of Jamal Khashoggi's murder. He must continue to ensure that we have strong expectations of what our Saudi partners are or are not bringing to the table, whether they are or are not meeting the expectations that we have in terms of the values that they are kind of abiding.
Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger of Virginia spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, there are new developments in the pandemic, the battle against the pandemic this morning, Karen. The nation's top doctor says Omicron BA5 is getting more worrisome. Bloomberg's Zed Baxter has the story.
COVID response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha says it's something to very carefully watch.
It is certainly the most immune evasive. What we're seeing is people who were previously infected getting reinfections at high rates, people who got vaccinated, let's say, last year, having a ton of breakthrough infections. So something that we're, you know, obviously paying very close attention to.
Yeah, and Dr. Jha says mitigation tools like smart use of masks and, of course, vaccinations is important. He says everybody over 50 needs a second booster. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed, thanks. And despite COVID concerns and current economic conditions, back-to-school shoppers are expected to spend a record amount this year. According to a survey by Deloitte, sales for the season are expected to total $34.4 billion. That breaks down to $661 per student, an increase of 8% from a year earlier. Your local headlines straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 607 on Wall Street, 72 degrees in Central Park, and better news now for rail riders. Let's get that and more on what's going on in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Rail commuters are saying hallelujah. New Jersey transit service has resumed in and out of New York City. Rail service was suspended into and out of Penn Station in New York due to Amtrak overhead wire issues. New Jersey transit tickets and passes no longer being cross-honored by PATH. It is the third shark attack in 10 days on Long Island. A 49-year-old man was attacked by a shark yesterday evening, less than 12 hours after a paddleboarder was attacked at a nearby beach that morning. According to the Suffolk County Police, the man was standing waist-deep in the water at Seaview Beach on Fire Island when he was bitten on his wrist and leg around 6 p.m. Earlier, a 41-year-old man was bitten by a shark while paddleboarding at Smith Point Beach. Both suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone.
I think it is an indication, however, that what we're looking at is something of a new normal.
Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone says the tiger sharks are closer to shore than they've been. New York City Council members are calling on Mayor Eric Adams and the Department of Education not to exercise budget cuts. In a joint letter, council members say it will result in the city spending less on each child. Last month, the city council signed off on a $215 million budget cut in Adams' 2023 city budget, but now council members say that the Adams administration misled them by saying the cuts would be fully accounted for by declining enrollment. A new mental health clinic in the Bronx just opened its doors. Mayor Eric Adams says the short-term treatment center will provide New Yorkers with mental health and substance abuse issues immediate access to service.
We unfairly treated the New York City Police Department and this city in so many ways. We called on them to do everything. We called on them when someone had a gun. We called on them when someone had a cat up the tree. We called on them when someone was going through a mental health crisis. We called on them for everything. and didn't realize that we had other agencies that we should have coordinated with.
Mayor Adams. Manhattan apartment rents reached another record high in June, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. New leases were signed last month at a median of $4,050. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, Yankees trying to avoid their first four-game losing streak of the season. The night did not begin well. Luis Severino injured most of the last three seasons. He's been so good this year, but he served up three home runs in the second inning. And while taking his warm-up tosses in the third, departed, headed for an MRI on his shoulder. Yanks trailed the Reds 4-0, came back. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, three-run double. They led 5-4. They fell behind again. Giancarlo Stanton, game-tying home run, eighth inning. Yanks scored in the 10th for another walk-off win, 7-6. Mets used the long ball in Atlanta.
Gordon delivers, and Lindor rips it deep in the air, right field. Acuna turns around, watches it fly. That one's way out of here. A three-run blast for Francisco Lindor. He comes through in the top of the third inning, and he extends the Mets' lead to 4-0.
CBS solo shots from Mark Canna, Eduardo Escobar. Mets beat the Braves 7-3. Chris Bassett got the win. The Mets take the series. Lead Atlanta now by 2.5. They visit the Cubs tonight. Two American League teams both stretch their winning streaks to 10. The Seattle Mariners, who've gone longer than any team in all of sports without making the postseason, and the Baltimore Orioles, baseball's worst team over the last several years. The Mariners now tied for a playoff spot, and the Orioles only two games behind. Toronto fired their manager, Charlie Montoyo. The Rangers have signed free agent Vincent Trocheck away from Carolina. Open Championship Golf, 150th edition at St. Andrews, with American Cameron Young, 31 on the front nine. He's just moved into the lead at 500. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures down 38 points. Dow futures down 295. NASDAQ futures lower by 100 points. 10-year Treasury is down 9/32. The yield 2.96%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Showers and storms developing through the day as we head near 90 degrees. It'll be partly to mostly sunny tomorrow. Mix of sun and clouds Saturday, both days in the upper 80s. Right now, 72 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning, along with stocks in Europe and the dollar resuming its upward march after high U.S. inflation hardened expectations for more aggressive Federal Reserve monetary tightening that could trigger a recession. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 39 points, Dow futures down 304, NASDAQ futures down 105, the DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.96%, yield on the 2-year 3.20%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.4%, down $2.34 at $93.96 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.4% or $24.20 at $17.11.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0035 against the dollar. British pound 1.1856 and the yen 138.84. Looking at Bitcoin, it's higher, up about 0.7% at $19,785. Today we get another reading on inflation, the producer price index at 8:30 Wall Street time. We also get the weekly report on initial jobless claims, and we're looking for earnings from J.P. Morgan Chase and Morgan Stanley. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden will seek to bolster cooperation between the U.S., Israel, and other countries during his first full day in the Middle East. His schedule today involves meetings with Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Reds, the Mets beat the Braves, the Nationals lost both games of a doubleheader to the Mariners. As Ernie Harrell would say, the Orioles are flapping their wings. They beat the Cubs to win their 10th straight. The Giants stopped the Diamondbacks. The A's lost to the Rangers. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
What a time to be alive. 5 when the Orioles are doing well for a change. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is a Bloomberg Daybreak. Of course, investors focused not just on the threat of inflation, higher rate hikes, but the kickoff of bank earnings season with J.P. Morgan Chase and Morgan Stanley reporting this morning. Ken Leon is with us now, Director of Equity Research over at CFRA. Ken, it's great to speak with you this morning. I wonder what your expectations are when it comes to the bank earnings, because, of course, they have so much that they can tell us about the strength or what have you when it comes to the U.S. economy.
Well, that's right. And it's really where are we going? We're at an inflection point in terms of questions about the economy or the consumer. And looking ahead, I think the banks are going to be cautious. They need to build up bank reserves if we run into recession next year. And, of course, you know, the investment banking area has been weak. But all of that is really factored into expectations and stock prices. So I think any leaf of good news is going to help in terms of optimism and bank stocks maybe going higher. But this is not going to be a pretty firing on all cylinders kind of quarter for the banks, and I think their tone's going to be pretty low key.
I think it has to be said that J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon may have set expectations when he made that well-repeated quote about an economic hurricane on the horizon. Are you expecting that that kind of language could continue? Or, I mean, is there a possibility that we could see some evidence of green shoots?
Yeah, the green shoots, it's going to be tough because of the pressure of rising rates, you know, the Fed going maybe up 100 basis points next time on their meeting. And, you know, I think, you know, the real secret to the story is banks build reserves. And if we go into a shallow recession next year, possibly they can reverse those and that could help earnings next year. But the, you know, the health of the businesses, lending is likely to be less in the second half versus the first half of this year. Capital markets is a big, big question mark. Particularly in terms of underwriting. And overall, you know, right now the banks just aren't seeing cracks in terms of credit risk, particularly on the commercial side. There isn't a distressed industry. So, you know, again, it's a crossroads, and banks are very different than a industrial company where they can build reserves. And if things don't get so bad, then that's going to help earnings next year.
Could the volatility that we've seen in the market and the possibility that trading desks have been able to manage to do well based on that, could that sort of outweigh some of the headwinds that banks could be seeing from some of the other issues surrounding rates?
They are, and that's going to offset, you know, lower underwriting and mergers and acquisitions. Equity and fixed income trading are up anywhere 20% to 30%, and volatility has helped. But for investors, bank stocks never really get rewarded on the volatility of trading because it's so difficult to sustain or predict. But yes, the print's going to be positive for trading, you know, when they report soon.
Does that make it tough to think of financials more broadly as a buy when it comes to investing in some of these big Wall Street names?
Banks are constantly trying to get higher recurring revenue, more consistency in their performance. They're getting that from asset and wealth management and trust services and some other areas related to the consumer. But the delta to get that higher oomph on growth would be, you know, obviously higher credit card spending and then also loan activity. But we're seeing all this where the bank stocks are at a 52-week low. They're trading at record low price to net tangible book value. We had a nice announcement after the Fed bank test in terms of return of capital with dividend increases and buybacks. So the bank stocks, even their yields, some of them like Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, around 3.5% for really great franchises in our view.
Thanks for this, Ken. Great having you on this morning. Ken Leon, Director of Equity Research at CFRA, as we await J.P. Morgan Chase second quarter earnings. They're due at around 7 a.m. Wall Street time. Morgan Stanley follows at 7:30. We will, of course, have full coverage for you throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures right now down 41 points. Dow futures are lower by 320. NASDAQ futures down 107 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 6/32, yield 2.95%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.19%. Just ahead, we look ahead to another read on inflation in producer prices and why a big tech CEO thinks his sector can weather the storm. Five things you need to know to start your day coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Showers and storms developing through the day as we head near 90 degrees. We'll be back in the sunshine, upper 80s tomorrow. Mix of sun and clouds, upper 80s Saturday. Right now, 72 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Up first, reaction still rolling into yesterday's hot reading on inflation, and there's speculation that the Fed's next move may be a 1% rate hike. Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester says there's more work to do to cut inflation.
Job one for us is to get inflation under control. And I say that knowing that the risk of recession have gone up. But that's part of what we're trying to do is normalize or moderate demand. Because if we don't do this, we're going to have many more problems in the economy going forward.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester made the comments to Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes.
Now, earnings season gets underway today, Karen, as big banks open their books for the second quarter. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has more.
Analysts say that overall, the numbers from the financial services sector will likely be lower by comparison to the very strong results from a year ago. We'll hear from JPMorgan Chase and Morgan Stanley this morning. Bloomberg Intelligence says JPMorgan's market leadership position support profitability and long-term growth. A profit of $2.92 a share is predicted. The forecast for Morgan Stanley is for a profit of $1.57 a share. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Well, as recession fears grow on Wall Street, one top executive said the industry will be able to weather the storm. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. IBM CEO Arvind Krishna says he believes business technology spending will remain robust above GDP growth, including in Europe. This following pessimistic sentiment from others in the industry.
When you look at supply chain, inflation, labor demographics, interest rates, technology offers you a way to scale without necessarily increasing costs that are linear or worse than linear.
IBM CEO Arvind Krishna does say, however, supply chain problems will last a couple more years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. Turning to politics, President Biden signs a joint declaration today with Israel's new prime minister to provide billions to the Israeli military. The president visits Saudi Arabia tomorrow.
And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Futures are lower this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 72 degrees in Central Park. Got a crash on southbound Harlem River Drive at 145th. But better news for rail riders this morning. Michael Barr has that and more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. And rail commuters are saying, welcome back, old friend. New Jersey Transit has resumed service in and out of New York City. It was suspended earlier this morning because of overhead wire issues. Buses and the PATH train, now they've stopped that cross-honoring stuff. Two more shark bites happened within hours off Long Island yesterday. Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone called it the new normal.
They've always been here, but they're closer to shore now.
Ballone says in one attack, a surfer punched the predator.
Was knocked off his board and then saw the shark coming back around towards him.
Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone says both men suffered non-life-threatening injuries. It is the third shark attack in 10 days off Long Island. The New York City Council called on Mayor Eric Adams and the Department of Education to halt school budget cuts they say will result in the city spending less on each child. Last month, the City Council signed off on a $250 million budget cut in passing Adams' 2023 city budget. However, in a joint letter, council members say they were misled when the Adams administration said the cuts would be fully accounted for by declining enrollment. Mayor Adams announced the opening of a short-term treatment center in the Bronx that will provide New Yorkers with mental health and substance abuse issues immediate access to services. Adams says for decades, the city has relied on NYPD officers to respond to mental health crises and offered few alternatives to emergency rooms for people in crisis who are seeking help.
They're going to come and they're going to walk through the meditation room. They're going to come and have a place where they can get their medication if needed. They're going to come and get three meals, a shower, a place to sleep, just to de-escalate your crises instead of having to call the police to respond. And that blue uniform sometimes can aggravate the situation instead of de-escalate the situation.
Mayor Adams says mental health crisis is not a crime. It's a crime not to give people the services they need. A Manhattan bar has agreed to pay $500,000 to current and former employees who claim managers provided a hostile and discriminatory workplace. The Attorney General's office says managers at Sweet and Vicious in Nolita subjected employees to sex discrimination and sexual and gender-based harassment. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street, John Stanshauer has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees had lost three in a row, blown leads in all three. This time, they were the ones that came from behind down 4-0. Later, 6-5, they beat the Reds at the stadium 7-6 in 10 innings, winning one score on a wild pitch. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa had a big three-run double. Giancarlo Stanton, a game-tying home run. And now the Yanks await word on an MRI on Luis Severino's shoulder. He knew early on last night something was wrong.
On first pitch, I think it was like 90, 91. You know, that's not me. But I thought, like, you know, I couldn't get a little bit more. But after that second inning, you know, when I was warming up, I was getting worse. So I told myself, like, before something even bigger happened, let me, you know, stop it right here.
Severino has made it back from multiple injuries over the previous few seasons. The Mets won in Atlanta 7-3. They hit three home runs. Mark Canha, Eduardo Escobar, three-run shot for Francisco Lindor. The Mets win the series, lead the Braves now by 2.5. Tonight they play the Cubs at Wrigley, where Baltimore won again last night. The Orioles have won 10 in a row. They're still in last place, but they're over 500. They're only two games out of a playoff spot. NHL free agency, the Rangers signed Vincent Trocheck to a 7-year deal. He'd been with Carolina. They also added a veteran backup goalie, Yaroslav Halak. Frank Vatrano and Andrew Kopp, who the Rangers added at the trade deadline, have both moved on. Vatrano signed with Anaheim, Kopp with Detroit. At the Open Championship at St. Andrews, American Cameron Young, 6-under through 11 holes. He's got a two-shot lead. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is back with us this morning watching financials, I'm sure, with the first big bank earnings now just minutes away, Kriti.
Just minutes away. J.P. Morgan's what we have our eye on here. Those shares are down about 1.1% in the pre-market. This is really important, Nathan, because we're about to get numbers across the board that don't just have repercussions for JP Morgan's bottom line, but for the broader economy as well. Loan loss provisions, for example, how much are some of these big banks, JP Morgan in particular, preparing and bracing for some sort of recession, bracing for some sort of consumer default? That's going to be a key part of the equation. Trading revenue is going to be another one, especially, I have to add, when you do see all this volatility in the markets. Remember, fixed income, commodity markets have been extremely hard to navigate. JP Morgan and the like tend to be market makers, and that they're offering some of the spreads. That volatility usually helps the trading revenue for some of these banks. Is it going to help again to the point that it actually offsets some of the pain in some of their other businesses? Other businesses like, for example, investment banking. We also know that deal volume has really been dropping and dropping quite quickly on these recession fears and financing fears. So how much of that is going to show up? And remember, this all comes up in the background of a twos, tens inverted yield curve, which has huge repercussions in terms of how much JP Morgan can actually charge interest on some of the loans they provide. So a lot to digest in the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, deep inversion with twos and tens. And with the broader market pointing lower once again this morning, Creedy, what else are you watching?
Well, we have to talk about the commodity names. This is going to be very significant. One of the major movers to the downside is Freeport-McMoRan. Now, this is a copper company, or largest copper company, I have to say. FCX is your ticker. Down about 3.4% in the pre-market. And then if you took a look at the macro picture and take a look at commodities broadly, they are all lower. Commodities are supposed to be not just kind of this bid on inflation and that play, but also the idea that you are supposed to be seeing global demand for commodities, that the economy is still growing. In the last couple of days, you have seen the exact opposite. Stronger dollar, commodities dropping, really signifying some of those growth fears. And the way that shows up in the stock market is through commodity exposed names like Freeport-McMoRan. Like I said, FCX down 3.4%. But take a look at some of the oil names as well. ExxonMobil, for example. XOM is your ticker. Down 2%. EOG Resources, another one, down 2% as well. So once again, all of the commodity names that have been such a surefire trade in the past couple of, I want to say months, right now, they're the ones that are leading the sell-off, Nathan.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning while we wait for those J.P. Morgan and Morgan Chase results. Now minutes away, we'll have them for you live here on Bloomberg Radio. Ahead of the market open, futures are moving lower. S&P futures down 39 points. Dow futures down 318. NASDAQ futures are lower by 90 points. Mentioned twos, tens, inversion. The 10-year down 6.30 seconds right now with a yield 2.95. 5% yield on the two-year, 3.20. Up next, Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern live from Jerusalem as President Biden continues his trip to Israel. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, showers and storms developing through the day, upper 80s for highs. In fact, we'll be in the upper 80s tomorrow and the next day with partly to mostly cloudy skies. Right now, 72 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now with Dow futures down 345 points. S&P's dropped 43 and NASDAQ futures are lower by 97. And just knowing here, J.P. Morgan just reported Q2 adjusted revenue, $31.63 billion. Estimate was $31.97 billion. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.96%. Gold is down 22. Oil trading lower and Bitcoin is little changed. Asia markets were quiet overnight. Note that Taiwan Semi hiked its outlook. And European markets are in the red this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims and June PPI. And besides J.P. Morgan earnings, look for Morgan Stanley to report around 7:30. In other news, the Tesla executive overseeing AI and autopilot is stepping down. And crypto lender Celsius filed for bankruptcy. Wrapping things up, F5 was cut to neutral at Credit Suisse. Cisco cut to neutral at J.P. Morgan. And Tesla was rated new by a Truist. Price target there, 1,000. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And again, we did get earnings from J.P. Morgan. They're crossing the Bloomberg Now. Adjusted revenue, just missing analyst estimates. And second quarter investment banking revenue also looking like it missed analyst estimates. We're going to have full details with Bloomberg Intelligence senior analyst Allison Williams in just a moment. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. High stakes tone. talks in the Middle East. During his first full day in Israel, President Biden and Prime Minister Lapid will hold a full joint briefing later today. A nationwide curfew was in effect in Sri Lanka from last night until this morning after protesters surrounded and entered the Prime Minister's office in Colombo yesterday. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Reds. The Mets beat the Braves. The Nationals lost both games of a doubleheader to the Mariners. The Orioles beat the Cubs to win their 10th straight. The Giants topped the Diamondbacks. The A's lost to the Rangers. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include new hurdles for a Democratic spending package. State and local taxes are apparently off the table. Democrats seeing a slimmed-down CHIPS bill as the path to a deal there. And the Washington Post reporting this morning that former President Donald Trump could announce another run for the nation's highest office before this year's midterms. But the main focus this morning is on the Middle East, where President Biden is signaling a continued U.S. commitment to Israel's military this morning. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Anne-Marie Hordern is traveling with President Biden and joins us live this morning from Jerusalem. Anne-Marie, good morning. I know the president is meeting right now with the new prime minister of Israel, Yair Lapid. Talk a little bit more about what's happening in the discussions.
Yeah, Yair Lapid is the caretaker prime minister at the moment. There's actually no government here. The coalition broke down, and now there's going to be a fresh elections in November. The president will also be meeting with the opposition leader, who was the former prime minister, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu. But really, this is they're reaffirming their commitment to Israel. This was a deal that was signed under the Obama administration. Had some hurdles, but at that moment, Netanyahu was, really upset with America for wanting to join a nuclear agreement with Iran, but they were able to come to the security agreement. It means billions of dollars for Israeli defense. The president yesterday was briefed on some of that defense, including the Iron Dome and this new Iron Beam technology. And that now, as it states, goes till 2028. It's a 10-year agreement. And what they are reaffirming is that they will continue that agreement into the future. But they didn't give us a date. It's kind of low-hanging fruit, to be honest, because you'd be hard-pressed to find an American president who's not going to come to Israel and reaffirm that commitment to Jerusalem and Tel Aviv.
And a lot of this trip to Israel, at least, Anne-Marie, I think is about bridging a divide between the U.S. and Israel when it comes to how to deal with Iran and the stalled nuclear deal.
Yeah, it is. The nuclear deal at the moment is stalled. The president was asked about this from a local news station, and he said he believes that a nuclear deal is still the right path because it can stop Iran from getting closer to and capabilities of having nuclear weapons. And he said the JCPOA signed under Obama, which former President Trump pulled the United States out of, was working. Of course, the Israelis, the Saudis, the Emiratis, they do not want to see the United States negotiating with Iran. And right now, these talks have fallen. There were recent talks a few weeks ago in Doha. We reported about those. Nothing came of. But you're right. Part of this trip is also, and part of the reason why you see a really change in the Middle East is you have behind the scenes, not really publicly, but because Israel has not normalized with Saudi Arabia, but you do have these Arab countries way more willing to work with Israel because it's really about coalescing against Tehran. That is their common adversary in the region now.
Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern traveling with the president in Jerusalem. Anne-Marie, thanks for the update from the Middle East. We want to turn now to J.P. Morgan Chase earnings. The shares are falling this morning after second quarter results. Let's bring in Bloomberg Intelligence senior analyst for global investment banks, Allison Williams. Allison, good morning. It was a miss on revenue, big miss on investment banking. What else is standing out to you?
So the big miss, as you said, is on revenue. Investment banking fees really much lower than expected. And, we don't have sort of all the full paperwork that they file, but I'm wondering if there is some kind of leveraged loan write-down. That's something we expect to see across the banks. Bank of America already sort of announced theirs, and sometimes you don't know the geography of where they put those write-downs. But FICC trading, also a bit weaker than expected, but in general, investors tend not to get overly concerned about those types of numbers because Trading tends to be volatile. And I would say on the positive side of things, net charge-offs coming in better than expected. The reserve built a little bit more than expected, so that might be something that investors are concerned about, but certainly it's not the size of the reserve build that we saw last quarter. And just to put that into context, the reserve build is looking at future losses, and that's something that we're really focusing on this quarter in terms of what the banks are telling us about their expectations for future quarters. This quarter, credit good, net interest income coming in just as around as expected, if not better, and capital also coming in a bit better than expected. I see the headlines about JP Morgan suspending buybacks, but I think that was expected.
Was it? I mean, it seems like that's a lot of what's sparking this sell-off in early trading, this headline, this red headline, that JP Morgan is temporarily suspending share buybacks.
So the Fed stress tests, which came out in late June, when those came out, I think that was really the big surprise in terms of their stress capital buffer, which determines their capital requirement, really jumped. And so I think that was when I think it was clear that they were going to have to suspend buybacks, perhaps not as clear to some, and maybe, but that's why the stock is trading off. But this is the second quarter, I think, in a row where capital is becoming a focus. We have the bonds trading off. Short-term interest rates are good for net interest income. Higher long-term interest rates hurts the value of bond valuations for the largest banks. That feeds into your capital ratio, makes it look weaker in the near term. And as I said, with the stress test, their capital requirements are going up. So I think it's prudent that they are putting a pause on buybacks. We heard from most of the banks last quarter that they were stalling buybacks or sort of doing lesser buybacks to build capital. And then this morning, JP Morgan just confirming that they're suspending. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the shares down 4% as investors continue to digest these numbers. Bloomberg Intelligence Analyst Allison Williams, thanks for keeping us up to speed as we continue to watch these numbers roll in. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report and a number 14 in the nation on Money's Best Colleges list. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In Tokyo, the government has raised the COVID infection alert to its highest level. Almost 17,000 infections were reported in the city yesterday, compared with 3,500 on July 1st. So far, the number of severe infections remains low. The European Space Agency is celebrating the first flight of its Vega C rocket, which is designed to provide more bang for customers' buck in the increasingly competitive business of launching satellites into your orbit. Vega C is an upgrade to the Vega rocket that made its debut in 2012 as a launcher specializing in lifting small payloads into space. The new rocket can carry heavier payloads than its predecessor while burning less fuel. And Tesla's top artificial intelligence executive and an architect of its autopilot self-driving system is planning to depart the maker of electric vehicles. Andre Karpathy, who joined Tesla in 2017, announced his departure in a series of tweets yesterday. Karpathy led the computer vision teams overseeing the technology at the core of autopilot, in addition to groups responsible for data labeling and deployment of the feature. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. And again, futures this morning are moving lower, and the 10-year Treasury is down 6/32nds, yield 2.95%. And continue to watch shares at JPMorgan Chase this morning, down about 4% in early trading after reporting earnings. More ahead on Bloomberg Surveillance. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.